You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Denise Tanada, Early Childhood Comprehensive Systems Advisor for the Children's Cabinet. The organization launched First Five Nevada a year ago during the Week of the Young Child, and a free early childhood screening and connections event is part of this year's anniversary celebrations. Denise, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Heather. Glad to be here.
So first of all, what exactly is the Children's Cabinet?
So the Children's Cabinet is a statewide nonprofit organization that serves in a public-private partnership with the state to provide a range of services to children and families.
And then what is First Five Nevada?
So First Five Nevada is a program of the Children's Cabinet, and it was really established to help connect families with young children to the programs and resources that they need. We found that a lot of families didn't know where to find the programs and services, how to access them, even to see if they qualify. So we created First Five Nevada as kind of a hub of all of those programs and services for families with young children, where they can go on, they can take a look at what programs are out there. And most importantly, we have an eligibility screener, so they can click on a button, answer a few questions, and see, you know, exactly which programs and services they qualify for.
Nice. Okay. Now, it's called First Five Nevada because the focus is on the first 5 years of life. Why is this age so important to focus on?
Really, the primary stages of a child's development happen during those first 5 years of life. During this period, a child develops more rapidly than at any other time in their life, and their experiences at this age have a lasting impact on their health, their ability to learn and succeed when they reach school age and beyond. So not only is quality early childhood development good for our kids, but it's also good for our community as a whole.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that First Five Nevada's website is like a portal to various programs and resources. What types of programs and resources can families find through the website?
We really have it broken out into five different areas. So we have early education, so things like preschool programs and child care services. We also have safety, so programs like Nevada Medicaid and CHIP health insurance programs, then special needs and early intervention, so things like Nevada Early Intervention Services, child find programs throughout the state. We also have food and nutrition, so you can learn more about SNAP and WIC programs, as well as parenting and family support. So that includes everything from financial assistance programs like TANF all the way to parenting classes that are offered by a wide range of agencies throughout the state.
Okay, that's fantastic. So what's this event that you're holding for First Five Nevada's anniversary?
So we're holding a free early childhood screening event. And the purpose of this event is to help get families early childhood developmental screenings. So we're working with our partners at the UNLV Occupational Therapy Doctorate Program, as well as at the College of Southern Nevada, to host this event on Saturday, April 5th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the CSN Charleston campus. It's a free event for families with young children, and the focus is on ages 0 to 5, but we have screenings that are available for children of all ages. And we're going to have, it was 20, I think it's about 30 different organizations now that are going to be there. So the intent is to do the screenings and then be able to offer on-site referrals to the programs and services that families need.
Wow, that's fantastic. So how can families take part if they have young children in the family and want to take advantage of the free screening?
Yeah, so families can come and join us on April 5th. Come down. You don't have to pre-register. We do encourage families that are interested in having the screenings to pre-register, and they can visit our website at firstfivenevada.org to get more information on the event and to sign up for those screenings. We do have a lot of spots that are filling up already, but we do have a lot of screenings that are still available. So they can pre-register, sign up for a slot, or they can just show up on the day of the event.
Nice. Now, First Five Nevada launched last year in conjunction with Week of the Young Child. And of course, the anniversary also falls around the time of the Week of the Young Child. What does that week represent?
It's really about raising the importance of early childhood, bringing visibility to the importance of those first years of life. We know that 90% of brain development occurs in the first 5 years. So we really just want to highlight why that's so important. Week of the Young Child was established by the National Association for the Education of Young Children and is celebrated throughout the country. So we're just joining forces with the Nevada Association for the Education of Young Children, their early childhood partners, to help honor our young kids and help bring awareness to the importance of early childhood programs and services.
And what is the First Five Nevada Family Leadership Council?
So the First Five Nevada Family Leadership Council is a new program that was created a couple of years ago, really to help families gain leadership skills. So it's a program that encourages parents to get involved in making decisions about the programs and services that are important for them. So we offer a range of trainings that are around leadership skills and learning to share your story and your voice, and really encouraging those families to take part in key decisions. So, taking part in the legislative process as well as advisory boards and councils, just really getting out there and sharing their stories so they can help make a difference.
Okay. Now, besides taking part in the free early childhood screening event or becoming part of the Family Leadership Council, how else can parents and community members get involved with First Five Nevada?
So there's several ways to get involved. Parents can join different parent groups. We've got a good list on the website of different parent groups that they can join. There's also state level advisory groups that folks can get involved with. And we also encourage families as well as community partners to contact their policymakers and, like, say, ensure that they have a role and a say in decisions that are being made. That's especially important right now as we're in our state legislative session. So there's a whole page that we have dedicated to getting involved, as well as information on the legislative process, sharing your story, like say, different advisory groups, as well as parent advocacy groups that folks can join.
Okay, that's awesome. Now, you did mention that First Five Nevada is a program of the Children's Cabinet. What other types of programs and resources does the Children's Cabinet have for parents?
Oh, a huge range of programs and services. We offer programs like parenting classes, so both in person and virtual to families throughout the state. We have a Cribs for Kids program where you take a safe sleeping course and you can get free cribs. We also have the Vroom program. So it's everyday tips for families, parents about early childhood development using tips and tricks with, everyday interactions to help grow healthy brains. We also have a partnership with the state. We administer the child care subsidy program in Northern Nevada, but we also provide a lot of supports to child care providers in terms of coaching and technical assistance. So a wide range of programs. I really encourage folks to take a look at our website at childrenscabinet.org to see a full range of programs and services that are available for families as well as providers and community members.
All right, awesome. So childrenscabinet.org is the website for the Children's Cabinet, and then firstfivenevada.org is the website for First Five Nevada, and that's the number five, firstfivenevada.org. And tell us once again how parents could take part in the free anniversary childhood screening event coming up on April 5th.
Yeah, so you can visit the website, firstfivenevada.org. If you scroll down on the homepage, there's a link to our event page, which has a lot more detailed information about all of the screenings that will be offered, as well as the other programs and resources that will be available at the event. And like I say, they can also just show up. So we'll be there Saturday, April 5th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the College of Southern Nevada, the Charleston campus. So we encourage families to sign up or just to show up. We'll have lots of fun activities for the kids, a play area, some snacks, as well as different crafts and activities in addition to the screenings.
Awesome. So once again, if you'd like to find out more about the Children's Cabinet, go to childrenscabinet.org. They have a lot of free resources and events going on there. If you'd like to find out more about First Five Nevada, the focus there is on early childhood development, the first 5 years of life of our children. First5Nevada.org is the website for that. First5Nevada.org. And then, of course, they have the free anniversary childhood screening event coming up on April 5th, focused on early childhood, but slightly older kids can also get benefit from that. And that is happening on Saturday, April 5th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the CSN Charleston Campus Student Union, 6375 West Charleston Boulevard. And again, you can find out more information about that at first5nevada.org. Scroll down and click on events. And we've been speaking today with Denise Tanada. She's the Early Childhood Comprehensive Systems Advisor for the Children's Cabinet. And Denise, it's really great talking to you, finding out more about what the Children's Cabinet's doing in the community, and especially what First Five Nevada has been doing for a full year in the community and bringing resources to parents of young children. Such a fantastic resource that you have. And of course, during the Week of the Young Child, you've got your free early childhood screening event. And that sounds like a fantastic event for parents to take part in as well. So I really appreciate you sharing with us and being here today. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Heather.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Rob Lacey, founder of Manifest Academy. As a music educator, Rob is committed to nurturing the next generation of musicians through mentorship and education programs. The Academy's second annual Uprising is happening next weekend at Container Park. Rob, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm ecstatic.
So, what is Manifest Academy?
It's a nonprofit that was formed by myself and my peers and friends. We all had this vision to want to be able to give back to the community by providing spaces and educational opportunities for youth musicians ages 6 to 18, and consists of a variety of experiences from songwriting classes to live performances, studio recordings, you know, demo packages, and, you know, things like that, so kids can be professionally prepared for the industry.
Okay. So is it a regular school where they go every day, or is it an extracurricular type of program?
Definitely extracurricular. The program is classroom spaces are online, so virtual lessons. And then I also teach in juvenile detention centers out here on the weekends, where I basically take a mobile studio and we go and record with the students inside prison. And I teach them poetics and emotional wellness and how to manage their feelings and express themselves through the arts.
Wow, that's fantastic. What kind of feedback have you gotten from working with the juvenile offenders?
My first kid gets out on the 27th, so he'll be able to make the Uprising show, which I'm ecstatic about. And then also the feedback was, you know, he had a parole hearing. And he said that to the parole board, like, I'm able to identify my emotions better. Songwriting and expressing myself with journaling has, you know, opened me up to understanding myself better and making better choices. I'm like, what? I felt like I didn't even coach these kids to say that. And that was the intention going in, you know. So the staff there called me and told me about that. And I was like, are you serious? That's what I've been hoping and praying for.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
So what is this Uprising Showcase all about?
I had a vision about 3 years ago to start a place, a function, because I'm from Southern Cali, where there's a lot of music culture. And growing up, I always had a spot to go to, a place where I knew I can get good music and my peers were there and we'd all celebrate each other's art and things like that. And I wanted to make something like that for the youth out here in Vegas. So luckily, Container Park became a partner of ours. And we started throwing shows every other month where the kids that I work with get to be able to showcase their songs that they've been working on in the studios and things that they're trying to put on their own individual artistic endeavors. So it's just a celebration of their works and their individual journeys.
Nice. So what could people expect to see if they were to attend the second anniversary Uprising Youth Showcase next weekend at Container Park?
So next weekend is a special Uprising. We host these all the time, but this is the annual. So we have about 12 local vendors that will be there, all from different arts, people that make beads, people that make jewelry, people that make, you know, shirts, clothing, et cetera, et cetera. We also have, we have a water sponsor called Ape Water. We have some dance crews. We got three dance crews that are coming out. They're all about 15 to 20 members each. So these are big dance crews and they're going to do some dance routines. We got singers, rappers, bands. We got all the works. It's a great show. Variety show.
Okay. And are these entertainers all from the Manifest Academy?
Yes. And I also source from all over the city. So it started off where it's like, hey, you know, these are a celebration of just my kids where I've, you know, helped educate and put them on. But the actual performance is a part of the program too. So they are all a part of the Manifest program because this is where they get to practice their showmanship. This is where they get to practice speaking in front of a camera. We do a live podcast. They're working on their PR. They're working on, you know, how they present themselves to the public. So this is all part of the program. So yes and no. I pull a little bit from all over the place. So if, let's just say I put out an ad and then a kid from, you know, across town that I've never met, they'll fill out the submission form, their families fill out the form, and then I just kind of go through this and get them signed up. So, you know, some kids I knew off the bat since they started, some of them I just met and they're already superstars, but everyone gets love.
That's fantastic. All right, so the second anniversary Uprising is happening next weekend at Container Park, but when exactly is it happening?
So it's going to be on Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. Obviously, I'll be there super early, but you don't got to come help me. It's all good. We got a crew. We'll be just fine. Not that anyone was worried about it, but it's just nice because from 1 to 4, it's a great time. After church, usually people can get out by that time, you know, and still have time to spend with the family, get out into the park. It's free for everybody. In the middle of Container Park is a ginormous jungle gym. So if you have little ones and stuff and they want to get out and you want to burn some energy off of them, you can have them run around the jungle gym, catch some live music, get some food, have a great Sunday. It's a family affair. And people always say it feels like a family reunion, but nobody's related.
That's awesome. So what does celebrating your second anniversary mean to you and the organization?
I feel like the longevity is a time testing element because it's kind of like everyone has grandiose visions and things like that. But as you go throughout time, you see how valuable it is to the community. Over time, we've seen the impact the families have all come together. So now we have students that have performed together. They're now best friends, you know, and they cheer each other on. So it's not just about the kids' individual efforts. It's about communion of all the artists in the city and the adults that even come through and perform and contribute their volunteership to make this all happen. It's all just one big celebration of people believing in the children and saying, let's do this for them.
Nice. So besides attending the Uprising second anniversary showcase, how can people get involved and support your movement?
So if people want to get involved and they want to support the movement, you can visit the website, manifestacademylv.org. And there we have all the info about our organization and all the different things you can sign up for. But briefly to describe, it'll be like volunteership at events, setups, you know, camera people that like to film, or let's just say you want to help and pass out waters, or, you know, all these different forms. Every hand helps And of course, we accept donations. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization registered in the state of Nevada. So you're able to donate. And if you need tax receipts and stuff like that, then donation receipts, we can provide them. And yeah, we would love all the support we can get.
Okay. And what if someone has a child age 6 to 18 and they would like them to take part and take classes with the Manifest Academy?
Yep. Also can visit the website. Please tap in manifestacademylv.org if you want to get your kids signed up. And we take kids 6 to 18. And it doesn't matter if they're just starting or they're already proficient with their art. All that matters is that we're helping them develop, because there's always a way to develop. And once we feel like you've made it, it's kind of like the fun's taken out of it. So hopefully all the people out here interested, you know, can find some way that they can get involved. And it doesn't matter if you're a superstar or you're a rookie. Let's do it.
That's awesome. All right. So once again, that website is manifestacademylv.org. manifestacademylv.org. You can find out all about the Manifest Academy, the online classes that they offer for kids from 6 to 18. You can become a volunteer. You can make a donation. All the information is there at manifestacademylv.org. And of course, their second annual Uprising Showcase is happening next weekend. It's on Sunday, April 6th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Container Park. It's a free event. All ages are welcome, and it's great fun for the whole family. So again, the information is at manifestacademylv.org. And we've been speaking with Rob Lacey. He's the founder of Manifest Academy. And Rob, it's really inspiring to hear all the things you're doing to help the kids, you know, the programs that you're running, helping the juvenile offenders as well with that program, and just giving kids an opportunity to find themselves through the arts and express themselves. It's so important. And sometimes we don't pay enough attention to how important that is. But I really love what you're doing. And thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you. I have a lot of appreciation for what you do, and thank you for making time for me.
What's the biggest myth about interscholastic performing arts? That you have to be the most talented or experienced to participate. The truth is, anyone can be a part of their school's performing arts. There are countless opportunities for students to participate, from theater, choir, and band to speech and debate. The bottom line, if you want to perform, there's a place for you.
This message presented by the NFHS and the NIAA.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Nicole Hockley, co-founder and co-CEO of Sandy Hook Promise. The organization has spent more than a decade working to prevent school shootings, and their new PSA, A Teddy Bear's Dream, highlights the devastating impact of gun violence on childhood. Nicole, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Heather.
So what prompted you to start Sandy Hook Promise?
I helped launch Sandy Hook Promise 1 month after the shooting at Sandy Hook School, which both of my children were there and my youngest was killed in his classroom. And I wanted to ensure that other parents never had to experience this, that other children never had to experience this, because we know that school shootings and gun violence are preventable. So that's been our mission at Sandy Hook Promises, to prevent these acts from happening.
I can't imagine how hard that must have been. And the way that you've turned that tragedy into something so positive that helps so many people is really amazing. What's the inspiration behind your newest PSA?
Well, after the shooting at Sandy Hook School, over 60,000 teddy bears were sent to Newtown as, you know, a show of love and a support. But we really want to motivate people to take action. So this year's PSA centers around that notion that kids deserve to be kids. They shouldn't be afraid about a school shooting happening. They should be allowed to be kids, and that teddy bears belong in kids' arms, not to being used at shrines and memorials in the aftermath of school shootings, which is unfortunately what we are seeing more and more of. So that's what we're trying to do, is create that emotional connection between childhood experience and what it should be, and spur action from parents and adults, because we know that these acts are preventable.
How exactly can we prevent a tragedy like a school shooting?
One of the easiest ways to prevent tragedies from happening is by speaking up, saying something when you see or recognize a warning sign. And for us, it's critical that first people learn what those warning signs are, which is why we have so many resources and the list of signs on our website, sandyhookpromise.org. And we encourage adults to take action, to learn those signs and to have conversations with their children. And we also train in the warning signs and how to take action in schools across the country. We know this works. There's huge bodies of evidence to show how much it works. And we have tangible evidence of how many acts of violence we've intervened on, including over 18 credible school planned shooting attacks that have been stopped as a direct result of our program. So it's easy to go to the website, learn the signs, take action, bring the programs to your schools, and be part of the solution to solving this epidemic of school violence.
Yeah, it's amazing the resources that you've put out to help people recognize the signs of gun violence. Are there a few that you could share today?
Sure. I mean, there are so many signs, but some of the most critical ones include suddenly withdrawing from friends and family, excessive irritability or lack of patience, persistent thoughts of harming themselves or someone else. And sometimes there's super overt signs, such as direct threats towards a place. We often see someone saying, I'm going to shoot up a school. These are real threats that need to be taken seriously. And it's often an escalating spectrum of threats. So the earlier we can intervene and get someone help, the more likely we are to avert a tragedy from ever happening in the first place. So I urge everyone to go to our website and learn those signs and have conversations about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with your mission focusing on educating people how to recognize these warning signs, how to step in, how to help prevent this from happening in the future, what have you seen that shows you that this educational approach works?
Well, there's a lot of research that we do that shows how it works, but I think the tangible evidence really speaks for itself in terms of several thousand mental health interventions for kids that have needed help, over 700 imminent youth suicides prevented as a direct result of our programs, and as I said, over 18 validated and credible planned school shooting attacks that have not happened because of our program. So that is 18 Sandy Hooks that do not exist today, because people and young people recognized the warning signs and said something so that we were able to intervene and stop this tragedy from happening.
Yeah, that's incredible. Now, you mentioned having a conversation. How can we make sure that our kids aren't living in fear of gun violence after having that conversation and introducing it into their thoughts?
That's a great question. And I think it's always important to recognize that, you know, have an appropriate conversation for the developmental stage of your child, but also to not avoid the subject, because this is the experience kids are having today. School violence, especially in the last decade, is really changing the entire school and childhood experience that our kids are having. So don't be afraid to have the conversation, because they're already practicing active shooter drills. They're already practicing for a potential school shooting at their place. So have that conversation with them and be honest with them about how do we get help for someone? Who do you think needs connection? What are you hearing and seeing? Because you're the eyes of the school, and help them know what to do when they're concerned about a friend and to come to you for help, but also to use any sort of anonymous reporting system that their school or district has. It's important to have these conversations and not avoid them.
Yeah. Now, you've done so much positive work already and made such an impact. What's your hope and vision for the future?
Well, the vision is absolutely to ensure that school shootings are no more, that they're completely eradicated, and that kids can go back to just being kids and not live in fear of a school shooting happening where they go every day. So that is our vision. We know that it is possible because these acts are preventable, and we're going to continue to do our work, scaling our mission, our message, and our programs until school shootings are just a horrible part of our history and not part of our present.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Now, you've mentioned the website sandyhookpromise.org, where people can go to learn the signs of gun violence and help prevent a tragedy. Where can listeners go if they would like to see the new PSA, A Teddy Bear's Dream?
You can also go to the website, sandyhookpromise.org/teddybear, to see the PSA, and then explore the rest of the website for all of the other resources and information to help you be part of the solution to ending gun violence in our schools.
Fantastic. So once again, the website for Sandy Hook Promise is sandyhookpromise.org. There's plenty of resources there. You can learn about the signs of gun violence, help prevent a tragedy, have that conversation in your families, in the schools. And if you'd like to see the new PSA that they've just released, go to sandyhookpromise.org/teddybear. sandyhookpromise.org/teddybear. And we've been speaking today with Nicole Hockley. She's co-founder and co-CEO of Sandy Hook Promise, the organization that is doing so much work to prevent school violence. Nicole, I really appreciate you being here, sharing what the organization's doing, how the PSA can impact people, and most importantly, how people can learn the signs of gun violence so that we can prevent these tragedies from happening. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Heather.
When students struggle in school because they are hungry,
or fall behind because they lack school supplies or clean clothing,
being greeted at the start of every school day by the smile of a caring adult can make all the difference.
Especially someone from the community.
Someone who knows firsthand the obstacles students might be facing.
And what it will take to help them thrive.
At Communities in Schools, our site coordinators surround students with a community of support and remain by their side
to ensure that they have everything they need to engage in learning
and succeed in school and in life.
Access to technology, learning materials,
and even one-to-one mentor support.
We are there for them all day, every day. This is what Communities in Schools is all about.
Going all in for kids in schools, in communities, and beyond.
To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org. That's communitiesinschools.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Dr. Gus Alva, a distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatry Association. Studies have shown that approximately 40% of people with schizophrenia don't respond to therapy, but the FDA has just approved a new treatment option. Dr. Alva, thank you so much for being here today.
It's my pleasure being here, Heather. Thank you.
So first of all, to clarify, people have various different preconceived notions, but what exactly is schizophrenia?
I'm glad you asked, Heather. Schizophrenia is a highly disabling chronic problem that is among the most disabling conditions in the world. People sometimes experience symptoms that are quite scary. Imagine hearing things or seeing things that aren't there. Or imagine feeling that other people want to hurt you, kill you, steal from you, take things from you. You know, that would be a horrible existence. Sometimes when you think of negative symptoms associated with schizophrenia, that's the lack of ability to be able to enjoy life the way that you and I enjoy it, or experience, again, problems with communicating appropriately. Cognitive symptoms include being indecisive or not remembering things. So that just gives you a bit of a flavor palette of what patients with schizophrenia may experience.
Yeah, okay. And how prevalent is schizophrenia in the U.S.?
Well, fortunately, it's a low prevalence. 1% of the general population experience it. In fact, a study that was done in 2020 showed that there's about 2.8 million people that suffer with schizophrenia. But like I said, this is among the most disabling conditions out there.
Yeah. And what have been the biggest challenges around treating people with schizophrenia?
Well, in trying to reduce hallucinations and delusions, we basically conceptualize that in the brain, there may be too much of a chemical messenger called dopamine. But the problem is that there's too much dopamine, too little in other brain regions. And the medicines that we've utilized up to this particular point called antipsychotics all lower dopamine by blocking D2 receptors postsynaptically. That then means that, yes, we may be able to reduce hallucinations and delusions, but we may also spark additional problems like irreversible movement problems or certain metabolic factors that might lessen the lifespan. So not optimal, right?
Right, yeah. So what are the latest developments in schizophrenia treatment?
Well, that's what I'm excited to share with you today, Heather. I'm partnering with Bristol-Myers Squibb today to speak about Cobenfy, which is a combination of xanomeline and trospium chloride This is the first and only FDA-approved medicine that is an M1-M4 agonist. That means that it modulates dopamine to a completely different way. In fact, it's not called an antipsychotic. It's called a medication for adults who suffer with schizophrenia. And we know that Cobenfy works based on a very robust program that showed its overall benefit across multiple symptom domains that I just described for you earlier. But we have to temper that because not everybody will be able to take this new medicine. If somebody's allergic to it or they have problems emptying their bladder or stomach or have certain eye or liver problems, keep in mind also that all medicines may cause side effects. The most common ones with Cobenfy could include nausea, constipation, abdominal pain, increase in blood pressure. But that's where Cobenfy.com is a great resource for people to get additional information about this new treatment option for adults with schizophrenia.
Okay, and this is an oral medication?
It is an oral medication. And like I said, it's a combination of xanomeline and trospium chloride, a very clever way of making sure that we are stimulating M1 and M4 receptors in the brain, but not necessarily allowing that to hit the periphery with the use of the other medication, the trospium chloride.
Okay. And how do the results compare to injectables for treating schizophrenia?
Well, injectables are a terrific option for patients that want to opt for medications that are utilized in a long-acting format. This new medicine is only available in an oral form. So it's very important that we couch that in. The long-acting injectables are all D2 blocking medicines, meaning that they're the older class of medicine. And this new medicine is the only FDA-approved medicine that targets M1 and M4 receptors in the brain, but it's only available in an oral form.
Okay. What does this new FDA-approved medicine mean for the future of schizophrenia care?
Well, I'll tell you what it means to me and what I've seen with my patients is hope. And for those individuals that may have experienced a lack of benefit or a side effect burden associated with the other medicines that made them intolerable, the possibility of a new beginning so that we might be able to temper their symptoms without necessarily incurring problems that might be disadvantageous for them, right? So it's basically a new type of treatment for individuals that may have felt like they tapped out on the possibility of getting benefit.
Yeah, awesome. So you did mention the website once, but how can listeners find out more about schizophrenia and its new oral treatment option?
I'm glad you asked, Heather. Cobenfy.com, Cobenfy.com. Great repository of information. Cobenfy.com.
Perfect. All right. So once again, that website is Cobenfy.com, Cobenfy.com, Cobenfy.com. This is a new oral medication that has just been approved by the FDA for treatment for schizophrenic patients. And you can find out more about it there at Cobenfy.com. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Gus Alva. He's a distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatry Association. And Dr. Alva, I really appreciate you being here, bringing your perspective. You've obviously got a lot of experience in this field treating schizophrenic patients, and you've really laid it out clearly for us what it is, what the symptoms are, what the issues have been in the past with treating it, and what they could look like in the future. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Heather. I appreciate you.
Did you know that those with mental health challenges can be right in front of our eyes but still go unseen? Behind some smiles, there's hidden pain because our struggles aren't always on the surface. And they can affect anyone, anywhere, at any time. It's okay not to feel okay. There's strength in connecting and seeking help. Share, connect, get informed. Your mental health is in your hands. Visit melaninthriving.com/mental health in your hands.
This message brought to you by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Delphia Howes, author of Including You, Leading Inclusion from Where You Are. The current pushback against DEI initiatives is multifaceted, but with over 20 years of experience helping global companies leverage diversity, Delphia has unique expertise on the topic. Delphia, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
So what inspired you to write your new book, Including You, Leading Inclusion from Where You Are?
Yes. So I've been doing this work for more than 20 years, and I love it. And I know that it's necessary, the work of really creating a space for people to feel included so that they can be their best selves and do their best work. And so over the years, I've seen a lot. I've experienced a lot, and I've helped a lot of organizations to transition in a way where they have more inclusive environments. And I just thought that it was time to put those experiences, those real world experiences, to paper so that people can realize that it's not a difficult thing to do to create an inclusive environment and that we all can play a part of it.
Okay. And why are diversity, equity, and inclusion suddenly bad words?
Oh, yeah. So my opinion in that is that we've not done the work, we as a society, maybe even globally, we've not done the work of creating a common denominator with regard to the definition of those words. If you ask 10 people what each of those words mean, diversity, equity, inclusion, independently, you're going to get 10 different answers because we're coming from it from our own experiences, comfort levels, values, etc. None of that is wrong, but we haven't formed that intersection of understanding for each of those elements. And because of that lack of understanding and lack of commonality, we've missed the opportunity to move forward together. Some people have felt that they've been left behind or not included in the space of DEI. Right. And I think that's what's causing some of the backlash, that lack of understanding, that lack of connection, that lack of full engagement for individuals.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when I hear people talking about it, against it, they make it sound like employers are hiring people just to check a box instead of based on qualification. How often does that actually happen?
In my experience, it doesn't. I would not allow that to happen. Right. Organizations that operate successfully operate through meritocracy, right? They operate through the opportunity to recognize the merits of individuals and their experiences, their skills, their knowledge, their abilities in order to grow and produce, right? And be successful. I don't think it's very often that you would have an organization that intentionally says, we're only going to bring in or hire or promote a specific demographic group, because that is illegal, right? Mm. So the mindset of illegal DEIA. I don't think organizations do that. In my experience, I've not seen that. I think there's an opportunity to really recognize the distinction between illegal DEIA and what is DEIA in a way that helps us to move forward together. But I do believe that overall inclusion, the undergirding of all of that, is the foundation for helping us to get beyond where we are.
Yeah, excellent points. Now, who is ultimately responsible for inclusion in a workplace?
Everyone, right? So a lot of times in many organizations, employees sit back, rightfully so, and wait for, you know, HR to set the policies, practices, and procedures, their CEO to set the standard for the culture, their managers to also set the standard and model that behavior. And unfortunately, when we sit and wait for that, it takes a while. We don't see it come as readily or as easily. The reality for me is that everyone has responsibility to create inclusive environments, and they have the opportunity to do so because we all, every individual has likely experienced some exclusionary activity. We've been a part of a situation or an environment where we've not felt fully included. And I can guarantee you, based off of, you know, the research I've done and the people I've spoken with, that hasn't felt good. And so if we know the challenge with exclusion, the opportunity for inclusion and making sure that our workplace is inclusive is absolutely necessary. And again, we all play a part in it.
Yeah. And how does performance change when employees do feel valued and included?
Yeah, it goes through the roof, right? When we feel valued and included in any given environment, we're willing to give ourselves. We're willing to put in the time. We're willing to be vulnerable and question things and question ourselves. That's because we're in a safe space. If we're not in a safe space where we feel we're going to be excluded or ostracized or, you know, even discriminated against, we're less likely to give our full selves, to give our full opportunities, to give consideration and be vulnerable. So, you know, that's a long answer to the reality that it goes up exponentially.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what is psychological safety in a workplace?
Yeah, psychological safety means that, you know, as an individual, we can just be, right? We can go in, we have the structure in place that doesn't precipitate punitive action or measures for us going against the grain, questioning things, raising issues that may not have been raised in the past. Psychological safety allows us to be able to engage with one another effectively because we see one another from a value standpoint. It provides the mindset that we can be authentic in the workplace and not be ostracized for that, and we can bring our best talents and our best selves.
Yeah, okay. Now, you talked earlier about compliance issues. There's legalities around this. How is culture different from compliance?
Vastly different. So let's start with compliance. Compliance is regulated, right? There's a regulation, there's perhaps a law, there's a distinct expectation and guidelines for how an entity must act, an individual or an entity must act in alignment with those expectations, with those guidelines, right? So mm-hmm. there must be a point of adherence to those guidelines. When we think about culture, on the other hand, culture says, how do we operate internally to ensure that our employees feel whole, to ensure that employees are working together effectively and engaged in the work that needs to be done and with each other in order to make sure that we are successful in attaining our mission and vision. So, you know, compliance isn't always law, right? But compliance is more, like I said, regulatory, regulation, focused on explicit guidelines where culture can be defined by the needs and the opportunities within an environment.
Okay. Now, since inclusion ultimately falls to everyone in the organization, what are some tips for people to get along better with coworkers in a more inclusive way?
Yeah, I think the very first thing is, you know, doing something that is kind of hard for us to do as humans, and that is to shine a flashlight on ourselves, right? We often recognize that, you know, we're comfortable in the box that we're in, and anything that is not understood by another group or another individual, you know, we either shy away from, we question, we, you know, and we're just uncomfortable with it. But if we take time to allow ourselves to recognize that, hey, we're different. That's the first thing. Recognize and appreciate the fact that those differences can bring about great change, great opportunities for the future. I think that that's step one. Step two is really taking the opportunity to see people for who they are. So if you have a colleague that obviously is going to be different from you because, you know, there are no two people that are exactly the same, even if you're twins, right? But if you have the opportunity to see a person for who they are and how they want to be represented in the world, and allow them to demonstrate that to you, then we can find the value in that individual and we can take what we're comfortable with and begin to meet in the middle.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Now, obviously, this is an important topic. It's a timely topic. It, you know, it's controversial, but it's important for people to completely understand. So if they'd like to explore further into your work or get your new book, Including You, Leading Inclusion from Where You Are, where would they go?
Go directly to Amazon. You can find the book on Amazon. It's also in bookstores, Barnes & Noble. It's also on my website, dhowsolutions.com. So you can definitely find the book in those spaces. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn and I can, you know, I can send an autographed copy to you as well. I'm doing a Wall of Inclusion campaign where I'm asking people to send in their photographs with the book and creating a collage that demonstrates that, you know what, anyone can lead inclusion from where they are. We can all stand for it. And if we all do that collectively, we move further and faster.
I love that. Wall of Inclusion. It's like ball of confusion, but wall of inclusion. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. So once again, Delphia's website is dhowzesolutions.com. That's H-O-W-Z-E, dhowzesolutions.com. You can find out more about success, diversity, inclusion, equity, all of these topics we've been talking about. And of course, you can get a copy of her book through there. You can also find it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, or connect with her on LinkedIn if you'd like an autographed copy, and you can be part of the Wall of Inclusion. So dhowzesolutions.com is where to start. And of course, we've been speaking today with Delphia Howes. She's author of this book, Including You, Leading Inclusion from Where You Are. And Delphia, I really appreciate you being here because, you know, like we've mentioned, there's controversy around this topic right now, and yet, you know, maybe misplaced. And there's a lot to consider and, you know, breaking it down between the legalities and the non-legalities and creating a culture. This is all important stuff that makes people feel more included and therefore they perform better at their work. So I really appreciate you being here, talking about your book, talking about this topic and sharing with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. I care deeply about creating a world we can all fully participate in, free from stigma, misperceptions, and barriers. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Rooted in communities nationwide, Easter Seals helps empower millions of people, regardless of age or disability, through its life-changing services and powerful advocacy. Today and every day, Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth, or NPHY, is holding their annual plastic food drive through this Monday, March 31st. You can make a donation online or drop off fast food and grocery gift cards at the NPHY Drop-In Center, 4981 Shirley Street near UNLV, on Monday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Donate or find out more at nphy.org. That's nphy.org. First Five Nevada celebrating its one-year anniversary with a free early childhood screening event next Saturday, April 5th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the CSN Charleston Campus Student Union, 6375 West Charleston. Find out the details or pre-register for services at firstfivenevada.org. That's the number 5, firstfivenevada.org. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation is holding their 8th annual Hidden Heroes Black and White Gala honoring the LVMPD Honor Guard next Saturday, April 5th at 5:30 p.m. at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. Find out more info or get your tickets at lvmpdfoundation.org/hidden-heroes. That's lvmpdfoundation.org/hidden-heroes. Manifest Academy is holding their second anniversary Uprising Youth Talent Showcase next Sunday, April 6th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Container Park downtown. Admission is free and all ages are welcome. Find out more at ManifestAcademyLV.org. That's ManifestAcademyLV.org. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, April 7th at 8 p.m. benefiting the ProStart program, and Monday, April 21st at 8 p.m. benefiting Once Upon a Room. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. Southern Hills Hospital's hosting a free Easter Bunny event at their newest freestanding ER location on Saturday, April 12th from 2 to 4 p.m. at ER at Desert's Edge, Blue Diamond Road, and El Capitan Way. Kids can enjoy free photos with the Easter Bunny, face painting, balloon artists, and a petting zoo. Find out more at southernhillshospital.com. That's southernhillshospital.com. The Collaboration Center Foundation's 5th annual Night en Blanc Gala is happening on Friday, April 25th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Collaboration Center's campus, 8390 West Windmill between Durango and Buffalo. This year's honoree is Mayor Shelley Berkeley, and proceeds support the Collaboration Center's programming for families touched by disabilities. Get tickets or more information at collablv.org. That's collablv.org. April is World Wish Month, and Make-A-Wish Nevada is holding their 24th annual Walk for Wishes fundraising event on Saturday, April 26, with 7 a.m. registration and the walk and run starting at 8 a.m. at Town Square, Las Vegas. Make-A-Wish chapters and affiliates across the globe come together each year to celebrate World Wish Month, the anniversary of the wish that inspired the founding of Make-A-Wish back in 1980. Sign up or find out more information at walkforwishesnv.com. That's walkforwishesnv.com. And Aid for AIDS of Nevada, or AFAN, is hosting the 35th annual AIDS Walk Las Vegas on Sunday, April 27th, with registration at 8:30 a.m., resource fair at 9 a.m., and walk at 10 a.m. at Las Vegas Ballpark, 1650 South Pavilion Center Drive. Penn and Teller return as grand marshals for the 24th consecutive year. Register for the event or find out more at afanlv.org. That stands for Aid for AIDS Nevada, Las Vegas, afanlv.org.